I actually got the message title, for those of you who are as old as me, Brian Ferry wrote a song, Let's Stick Together. Does anyone remember that song? Come on, come on, let's stick together. Dom and I, he's shaking his head. Anyway, I looked up the lyrics, and the lyrics go like this. The marriage vow is very sacred. The man has put us together. Come on, come on, let's stick together. You know we made a vow not to leave one another, never. And it goes on, let's stick together. Come on, come on, let's stick together. And so, I'm not a very good singer, and I don't think that would be good. My son's looking at me, please don't. All right. Have I got past that part? No pressure? Good. You know I can't sing. All right. So, number one, let's stick together. There is no argument to be had. Whatever you do, you will be stronger when you stick together. You will have a stronger marriage together. You will have a stronger parenting together. You will have stronger friendships when you are determined to stick at them through life's journeys together. You will have a stronger faith together. A team that operates and flows together is incredibly powerful. We happen to be up at, what's the hottest place in Australia? Marble Bar. Andrea just decided to take a shortcut to Marble Bar. It wasn't a shortcut, but anyway, long story short, there was an Eagles and Dockers guys and there was a Scottish guy behind the counter. He goes, did you see who that was? And I said, not really. And he goes, well, they were the famous footballers from the Dockers and the Eagles. Oh, that's nice. And he goes, they're scouting. We've got a big competition on with all the local people so that they can join the teams. And I thought, that's quite remarkable how they actually have this thing in place where they're actually looking right across the state for the best of, you know, the new ones coming through. And I thought, that's a good team philosophy too. And I think when we stick together, we are going to be better. So allow me to read from Acts 1:8. Who knows this verse? Who's done Alpha? Because this is part of Alpha. All right, so, but I promise, this is the Passion Translation, but I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be filled with power. Who'd like a bit more of God's power? And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. And then in Acts 1:13, it says, arriving there, they went into a large second floor room to pray. They think it was Mary's house. And those present were Peter, John, Jacob, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, Jacob. It goes on. And a number of women, including Mary, Jesus' mother, his brothers, were there as well. All of them, say it with me, all of them were united in prayer and gripped with one passion, interceding day and night. So the Holy Spirit descends into the upper room where the 120 are staying. Who felt the power of the Holy Spirit this morning? So it's a similar thing, except that it was more powerful. And we know from what the Bible says that there was a rushing wind and that tongues of fire came on the people. And the 120 speaking languages they hadn't previously known as they were baptized into the Holy Spirit. And the Romans visiting Jerusalem at that time were astounded because they could understand their own dialect and knew that these people weren't from them. How could they be talking to us like this? A crowd develops and the atmosphere is electric. The Jerusalem church is born. With the Spirit's coming, Jesus Christ, the head, baptizes 120 Jews into his body, and the first church is alive and well. There's this new community of people who contain God's life and are expressing God's nature. And this is the essence of the church. The principle behind the first church in Jerusalem is that the believers came together in one of their homes. The oneness of the Godhead was transferred. That in itself was a miracle. Look around the room today at other people. That in itself is a miracle. My good friends, Ben and Avina, that is a miracle. A good miracle. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because of the Spirit, we get to do life together with people that we thought we could never do life with, or perhaps would never have had the opportunity. But I've got Blammer in my world. What an awesome bloke you are. You hear what I'm saying? Because we've got relationship. They add to my life, you add to it. It's so good. And so the church is a community that God has had in view since the dateless past. A community that will express the divine nature in earth. And God's nature is community. And the community of believers, Acts 2:41, Passion Translation again, every believer was faithfully devoted to the following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miracles and wonders. They were added to the church. The new Christians joined the other believers. And what had the other believers been doing which created such momentum? Well, they were meeting together in one place. They were praying. And there was this incredible power of God. And God's eternal purpose is that the expanding divine nature of the relationship that God has be expanded through our lives. And God does that through his church. He does it when people gather together in groups. He transfers his life. And what would seemingly be impossible in the natural due to the differences in people becomes null and void because of the dimension of the Spirit on each other's life. A new race and a new spiritual community was born. So being a disciple is not a one-time event. Amen? It can't just be once. You don't make a decision. In fact, we get baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't do that without a public acknowledgement that we love the church. And so, Acts 2:40, Peter preached to them. So he's talking now to a lot of other people after this incredible event of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And Peter preached to them and warned them, be rescued from the wayward and perverse culture of this world. And so Luke is saying, because Luke wrote Acts, Luke is saying that being a disciple of Jesus is certainly not just a once-off thing. It means something. And the sermon wasn't completed. It is, in fact, ongoing through each of our lives. And the New King James says, with many other words, he both warned them and pleaded with them. And the essence of his warnings and pleadings was this appeal. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Now, we'd probably use different words today. I don't know that you'd go out and say to your friend on the street that perhaps you've known once or twice, or your shopkeeper, save yourself from this corrupt generation. They'd probably think you're a bit of a nutter. But we're talking many, many years ago. Well, they did. They did. I don't mind that. Anyway, and Peter was not asking for private and individual conversions only, but for a public identification with other believers. And the way we do that best is through connecting together. And that's the essence of the house of God. It's why I believe in a public direction of our faith. And so, John Stott says this from all that I've read so far, and in particularly the Acts 1, Acts 2. This is his words. Commitment to the Messiah implied commitment to the messianic community. You and I change communities when we come to Christ. The amazing response to Peter's appeal confirms that both Jews and Gentiles were not only ready to transfer into their new community, they couldn't be held back. Now, this is remarkable in the time. Jews and Gentiles didn't talk to one another. And now, because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're all communicating and the local church is alive and well. And so, the model is doing life together. Doing life together. It's a pattern that God has given us. And the apostles' teaching, church itself, is common for Jesus' disciples. And connect, doing life together at other times, like connect group, is even more common when you read the accounts of the early church. And not forgetting what Christ has done for us on the cross, sharing communion, his life and his prayer, sharing one another's when we have needs, when we have... The best way to do that is through a connect group. And so it's important to note that Jesus himself had a connect group. It was a group of people he did life with, and they were 12. Not a bad number for a connect group. And they shared meals together, they were at each other's houses, and they were blokes. So I'm sure they told it how it was from time to time as well. And so Jesus performed the first miracle after his ministry began at a wedding. And there were lots of people at the wedding. And Jesus always enjoyed having people around him and with him. And when the wine ran out, Jesus did an amazing miracle and provided, because he knew the importance of fellowship together and having a good time. In John 2:25, he didn't need anyone to tell him about human nature, for he fully understood what man was capable of doing. Interesting verse. And he was just saying that because who knows that you and I have situations and things where we need one another's help. And through the disciples' regular meeting together, they were able to build one another up, pray for one another, share the word with one another, break bread together, and have fun together. And this group became good friends. Six had the same occupation. They had things in common with one another. Andrew, Peter, James and Simon and John were fishermen. And Bartholomew had royal blood. He was scholarly. John was a fisherman with an explosive temper. Judas, a violent Jewish nationalist who tried to change his stripes but never quite gave up his past life. Jude, it was all about world power and domination by a chosen people. Does this sound anything like when we get together? We're all different. But somehow the Holy Spirit makes things work. It goes on, Matthew was a tax collector. Well, they were hated. Who likes... No, don't put your hand up. He was transformed from the love of money through the power of the Holy Spirit on his life. Philip had a warm heart but was pessimistic in his head. It may actually be that the Lord got frustrated with Philip because of his pessimism and so transported him to do good works. Thomas, what a doubting everything. He even doubted the resurrection. But the disciples still chose to do life together. Amidst their varying upbringings, their personalities, it was their way of life. Most of them witnessed amazing miracles after Christ's death. Many became church leaders. Some went on to write portions of the Bible. They were friends following Jesus. These men were being what Jesus had called them to be. Can we stick together? Come on, come on. Let's stick together. The 12, interestingly enough, became 120, and the 120 became 3,000. Acts 2:43, a deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miracle signs and wonders. There is no doubt that the people were fully committed to this new community. And when I hear how well you're doing, or when I hear of good news, it fires me up. Does it fire you up when you hear? There is something special on the people of God through what God has done by the power of the Holy Spirit in transforming our, and we know of the miracle working power of God in other people's lives. We need to share together in those things and hold one another up when they're having more difficult times. And Luke is giving us a beautiful cameo of the Spirit-filled church. What happened at Pentecost was a remnant of God's people that became Spirit-filled. They became the Spirit-filled body of Christ. They devoted themselves to fellowship, Acts 4 as well. And the Jerusalem church had small gatherings of people all around the city celebrating God. Hebrews 10:25, probably one of my favourite scriptures. I've got many, but this is definitely one. I've never read it from the Passion Translation. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. Lastly, stick together. Stick together. Can we say it together? Stick together. I may have told this story before, but it sticks in my memory. I have a friend who we kind of talk to each other every now and then, surfing buddy that I used to surf with a lot north of the river before I moved to Fremantle. We kind of stayed out, not been in touch recently, although he called me about a couple of years ago. And he wanted me to go out surfing with him out to a remote island off our coast. It's called Seal Island, off Whitford's, but it's quite a way out, a couple of k's off. I have paddled out there once when I was younger. And I go, sure, I'll see what I can do. And anyway, he started talking and he says, yesterday we were surfing and a shark started circling us. And he goes, the reason I'm ringing you is because there's safety in numbers. So he used to go on his boat, and he's got a little dinghy, you know, and used to go on his own. But now he's like, can I take some friends? I don't want to be selfish anymore because I don't want to be the only one in the water. But it's true, right? There's safety in numbers. Amen? Anyway, there is some truth in there. But seriously, there's something more in this. Because it also increases our chance of survival. And I'm not just talking about from sharks. We need one another. We help one another. And so house church, or connect groups as we call them, helps us to stay together in safety. We are a new race. We are a new spiritual community. We are church first. And this is what Acts shows us. We show the world who we are. We are in awe of what God does through our community.